And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your big time weekend update. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by going to theathletic.com/NBA show and subscribing. Huge weekend if you're not the Los Angeles Lakers, Keith. They dropped a second game of the weekend on Sunday against the Nuggets, thanks to Nikola Jokic's 38 points, 18 rebounds, and 6 assists, MVP-like performance. And there was no LeBron out there for the Lakers, but AD was, and it just wasn't enough. I mean, he looked really good in the first half, clearly was laboring on that foot to end the game. The fourth quarter was actually pretty rough for him, a lot of limping. But I want to start with the MVP, Nikola Jokic, doing what he does, Keith. This is why he's probably going to win the award again.
Yeah, so Jokic in this game, 15 for 22 from the field. If you're not excellent at math, that's 68.2% accuracy on those field goal attempts. That's like his fourth worst game in the last seven. Like, that's not even a good game for him. He's shooting 62% post All-Star break, but in this past five, he's posted all these like 70%, 86%, 90% from the field. So, like, this isn't even like an exceptionally excellent game for Jokic. He just does what he does. It seems like every single game he rolls out there where it's like he just kind of jogs up and down the court and literally no one can guard him. LeBron misses when Anthony Davis was like the Anthony Davis of old. He like showed up. He had a huge game, but he's like not the same caliber of player as Jokic and the Lakers. They lost two this weekend. Dave, they've lost six straight. They are... air quotes, fighting for their lives. They're not fighting for their lives, Dave.
Yeah.
They've lost six straight games. They want to go home so badly. They want it all to be over. You would think, I feel like as NBA analysts, we look at this Lakers team and we're like, hey, they don't control their own pick. It's either going to the Grizzlies or the Pelicans, so they have no incentive to tank. They're going to go out there every night and give it their all. Whoops. No, this team... man, this is 1-2-3 Cancun. I don't think they want to play basketball. Like, maybe, I mean, they're putting up a show. Like, against the Pelicans on Friday, a huge game that they lost, came down to the buzzer. Like, Avery Bradley made some shots, and I felt like they were upset when the shots went in.
They were like, oh,
this is much closer. Body language, they were like, why don't we all dismiss our shots? Let's all go home.
Yeah, that LeBron shot at the buzzer, the air ball, after triple pumping when other guys were wide open, was so out of character that it really kind of wrecked my basketball senses. And LeBron had 38 in that game, so he got the, you know, he's chasing the scoring title. Currently, he's the leading scorer per average, although DeMar DeRozan is the leading scorer in total points, which is, you know, what we ought to consider the scoring title, and we're not going to split hairs here on this
show. Oh, you're a point totals man!
I am a point totals guy, but I want to talk about Anthony Davis because, you know, this is the first game he's back without LeBron. You mentioned that he looked so good in the first half. I have to think that with how laboring the fourth quarter was for him, they have to think about him not playing the next game. He looked awful.
I don't know what these teams are doing as far as their injury management. You have some obvious things where like, hey, Anthony Davis has been out for a month or however long it was with a sore foot. And then his first game back, he plays 37 minutes. You're like, okay, is this one of those teams that like, he's been ramping up off the court. He's up to speed. He has like a full go on this, you know, like the foot is totally ready. He's completely cleared by the medical staff. And then you see the game on Sunday, he's basically limping. And when you watch a guy limp who's been out for a long time with a hurt foot, it's just natural to be like, is that guy okay? Should he still be playing? And you know, LeBron, his ankle is busted up, and he said, like, yeah, the ankle feels horrible, and yet we know he's going to play a couple more games because he's chasing that scoring title, and he has to play two more games to be officially logged in the scoring title race. So it's just a mess. I don't know what to make of the Lakers. This entire experiment has been a disaster. Russell Westbrook in the game on Sunday, statistically incredible game, yet the Russell Westbrook trade, just an abject disaster. They would have been much better with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell or whatever else they could have done. Like, this Lakers team, I mean, they're likely, almost certainly going to miss the playoffs. It is possible that the Spurs could lose all the rest of their games. All the rest of the Spurs games are against good teams that might have something to play for. So it's feasible the Spurs lose out. But I don't think the Lakers have the heart to do that rally, to even win the requisite games to get in. So, like, this team's going to miss the playoffs. And, I mean, the play-in. The play-in, Dave! I can't wrap my head around it. And obviously, I'm extremely biased because I'm a huge Grizzlies fan. And the fact that that Lakers pick is going to the Pelicans make out like bandits. They traded Josh Hart and their pick to get CJ McCollum, and it turns out they're going to get this top 10. They might get the number one overall pick, Dave. The Lakers have the eighth worst record in the NBA. The Pelicans won this entire trade deadline, and the Lakers are tanking, yet they don't have a pick.
It's a great season, unless you're a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
In Milwaukee, Luka Doncic just plays really well when he goes to Milwaukee. He had 32 points, had 15 assists, and man, he looked good down the stretch, beating the Bucks 118 to 112. I want to start down the stretch of this game. I loved this so much, Keith. It spoke to my basketball heart. Giannis wanted to guard Luka. I mean, this was like, we're going for it, and the game is really close. It was so amazing. And all of a sudden, Dorian Finney-Smith starts hitting every corner three because Luka is just creating these shots even when Giannis is guarding him. It's really an incredible performance for a guy who is a top five MVP candidate as far as I'm concerned. Like, this is a guy who's going to get votes in that top five, and he deserves it.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up, you know, like fourth or fifth in the MVP vote. He deserves it at least. I think he's passed some guys who've set out with injury. And like, this Mavs team, you've seen it recently randomly on these Sunday nationally televised games. They keep winning them. And when the Mavs make threes, it's pretty basic. They just look unstoppable. And that works for a lot of teams. We've talked about the Celtics before. Like, if the Celtics make 23s, if anybody makes 23s, you feel like they're unstoppable. And sometimes it is that basic, where the Mavs, they struggle to score, they slow the game down, and it's like, okay, they're missing shots. If Reggie Bullock misses all his shots, you're like, all right, are the Mavs any good? I don't know. And then a game like this, Reggie Bullock's hitting his threes, Dorian Finney-Smith gets hot, the team, you know, hits a bunch, and then you're like, okay, this team can compete. This team maybe could possibly, feasibly, you know, make it to the Western Conference Finals. And Luka definitely going toe-to-toe with Giannis, you know, gets a lot of credit. And, like, they're formidable. Like, the Mavs are legit.
Yeah, Giannis had 28 and 10. I mean, he's also, like, he's probably going to get some first-place MVP votes. We're at that point of the season where that's what we're really looking at here is the MVP race. But I want to talk about Chris Middleton. 3 of 14, and somehow Jalen Brunson was really locking him up down the stretch. I don't understand it. Jason Kidd didn't have to go back to Spencer Dinwiddie because Jalen Brunson was outplaying Chris Middleton. I can't quite put my finger on this one, Keith.
Yeah, I assume Middleton missed the previous game just as a typical, we're just going to rest our veterans, not play him two days in a row. But, like, Middleton's kind of struggled. He struggled in this game. He hasn't had an incredible year for him. We know what he can do based on last year's playoffs. But, like, this Bucks team, I think we assumed they were going to start clicking. We had a lot of data earlier in the year where it's like, oh, when Drew and Chris and Giannis play, they're incredible. It hasn't been consistent. It hasn't lasted. And now it's like, oh, I thought Milwaukee was going to turn it on. They're not so much turning it on. They have a few more questions. I still think maybe when I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, I might still favor them. But like this loss and a couple of the recent losses, I've started to lose a little bit of the faith that this team just does have an on switch that they can engage once the playoffs start.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In Cleveland, the Sixers shot their way from the free throw line to a victory, 122-108. Keith, there's one topic for this game, and I don't like coaches crying over spilled milk, but J.B. Bickerstaff has a point when he says that game was taken from us. We deserve to win it. Joel Embiid, in this game, and I know he gets fouled a lot, Keith, 20 free throws. James Harden, 12 free throws. 42 free throws for the Sixers in this game. Now, look, you make your free throws, you're going to win a lot. They were 35 of 42, so you tip your hat there. But, Keith, come on, man. That's so many free throws.
I feel so bad for the Cavaliers. But the Sixers, like you spelled out, needed 32 combined free throws from Harden and Embiid to beat Moses Brown of the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is Darius Garland and some dudes. This is not Evan Mobley, Jared Allen front court. Right now, this Cavs team is so injured, it's Darius Garland and just a bunch of fellas. No offense to Cleveland fans or the Cleveland team. But, like, the Sixers only winning this game by 4 and having to lean so heavily on the dark arts of deceiving the referees. Like, I don't think it's a good sign for this Sixers team. I mean, I feel like every Sunday, for whatever reason, we end up talking, or Sunday night, we end up talking about, like, I'm kind of out on the Sixers. Like, I don't buy it. And this game particularly, I don't buy it. It's not going to work. The Cavaliers had to start a front court of Caris LeVert, Lauri Markkanen, and Moses Brown, who wasn't on the team 2 weeks ago. And again, Joel Embiid had to go to the foul line 20 times to get a 4-point win over this Cavs team, which is struggling at the moment.
Yeah, not great. And as we wrap up here, big win for the one seed Miami Heat, who were scuffling for a while, win their fourth straight game against the upstart Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry back in Toronto, Keith. 16 points, 10 assists against the Raptors, his former team. Everybody was crying at the game, Keith. Is there a more beloved player than Kyle Lowry in Toronto?
In Toronto, no. I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, Kyle Lowry in Toronto is the best version of an athlete being loved.
It really is. Whenever you can deliver that championship like he did, and then, you know, for whatever reasons, people understand the economics of the NBA. He moved on. He goes to Miami. Miami currently, again, it was a big win for them because they've solidified themselves as the one seed in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, the Raptors are hanging in there. They got to express their love to Kyle in this one. And then Kyle, you know, has a great game. And like you said, just a legend for that city.
Yeah, and after the Sixers win and the Bucks loss, they're now tied in the wins and loss column. Milwaukee has the season series, so they are currently the 3 seed, Boston in that 2 seed, and Philadelphia in the 4 seed. And Keith, the Bulls and Raptors, 45-33 apiece at the end of the night, so 5th and 6th set there. And it looks like the play-in is also set in the East at Cleveland, Atlanta, Charlotte, and Brooklyn in some order. No one's going to jump in the East. And over in the West, you mentioned that the Spurs have a two-game lead over the Lakers for that final play-in spot. Pretty much everything else kind of sitting stable. The Jazz half a game behind the Nuggets for the fifth seed. Dallas feels like they're at least going to be the fourth seed and potentially the three seed. They are half a game behind the Golden State Warriors as we record this. So, Keith, the playoffs still in flux as we go into the last 2 weeks. It's going to be a wild ride, buddy.
Yeah, it's going to be a great finish. And I guess the thing I'm most focused on is maybe the Eastern Conference play-in. I mean, yes, it's interesting if there's a miracle lifeline for the Lakers to sneak into the play-in. Like the Nets, they lose this huge game to the Hawks, and now they're 10th. And, like, sitting at 10th, like, to try to get Kevin Durant into the playoffs, like, the odds are against him, that's pretty shocking. It's just another kind of weird twist to this remarkable season.
Yeah, that's going to do it for the show, folks. Hope you guys have a great start to your week. Enjoy the national championship game tomorrow night. I'm assuming everybody's going to go watch that. Keith, let's get out of here, man.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.